It's 8:22, and SIU President Randy Dunn is in the studio. And first off, it's good to see you, Mr. President.
You too. Tom, your listeners will not be shocked to know that you were talking philosophy right before we went on the air.
I was. I have a weakness. I have a weakness for ideals.
I like that. That's a good thing.
And
we need some ideas.
But the problem is with ideas is they often suffer on the altar of truth.
That's... So true.
They suffer on the altar of reality, not truth
that's
necessarily.
Right. That's right. That's right. But you still have to have the ideas if you're going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Intellectual honesty is something that, you know, to be honest with you, Randy, that I think if we've not learned that over the months, then maybe we've learned it since Sunday mornings in Orlando.
Sure. Sure.
That people hold the truth, you know, in the fire and torture it until it'll say something they want it to say.
But I think that's some human nature, isn't it?
I think it is, too.
You look at things at different facets depending on your perspective and your interests and relationships and all that type of thing.
Well, right.
So it's it's human nature.
But can I give you a good example that's relevant for you and I? So how am I going to start an interview with Randy Dunn today? All the things that you and I know and the listeners all know all together well here. How do I start the interview? Do I say the governor should have signed, or why didn't he sign that $3.8 billion package? Or do I say the Southern Illinois Swimming and Diving Program was recognized as one of the top academic programs in the nation? The College Swimming Coaches Association of America announced this yesterday. The SIU men's program tied for the fourth best GPA in the nation, while SIU's women team tied for the 11th best GPA nationally. Or do I say, why are we having money? Or look how well we're doing in areas that could very well suffer under cuts.
That's right. Well, we can talk about all if you want. You know, the thing with swimming and diving has been really neat to see, and it's part of a larger trend within Saluki Athletics. You may remember, Tom, it was probably, I don't know, a year or so ago now, where Barry Hinson was able to announce really pulling men's basketball up out of a very difficult situation that existed in terms of their academic progress rate, graduation rate, and there was a little press conference that, rightly so, by the way, that he did, or a press release, to celebrate that. That takes work. We've seen improvement within football, and that's always a challenge, and we've been able to kind of keep chipping away at that. Of course, with the news that you just read here, I just feel very good. And this is all taking place, of course, as the Missouri Valley Conference meetings are underway. Chancellor Caldwell's been up in St. Louis the past couple of days for those. And we see the progress there we want to have made. Any kind of national ranking that you get, as is the case with swimming and diving, is great. And now we keep working on the performance side as well. And I see some good days ahead for Saluki Athletics. I really do.
You know, but I think when you look at the long picture of this, where I say things can be cut, gymnastics once upon a time at SIU.
Yes,
we had
absolutely
a gymnastics program, an award-winning gymnastics program with tuitions and scholarships offered, and now it's gone.
That's right. In fact, my wife's father was on gymnastics scholarship to SIU.
There are a lot of changes. I was told at one point by my source last week that SIU was going to change. There were two areas that they were going to change. One was sourced, from a academic journal talking about the cutbacks this summer.
Right.
And another source told me that SIU is going to pare down to the point where they'll just be a liberal arts college.
No, we're not going to go that route because we'd be shooting ourselves in the foot. We have too much benefit that comes, and I'm talking crassly now. We have too many resources that come from the research enterprise we take on at SIU Carbondale. So if we started to try to fold out of that business, we would just be going down a path that would not support us. Now
a source of revenue.
Well, a huge source of revenue at the university. That's right.
To me, that's one of the great untold SIU stories.
Absolutely.
That you can have an airline saying, we're going to give you X number of hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars because we want you to do the work in the friction department on the brakes for our jets.
In fact, not to get too far ahead of myself, but the challenge is actually going to be to some degree the opposite of what you're describing. And it's rather going to entail, how do we continue to provide support for some of those liberal arts fields that aren't getting as many enrollees, that we're not seeing as many graduates on? We've got a few programs, not a lot, but we've got a few programs that we've got about as many faculty as we do majors in the program, and we can't do that any longer.
Right.
And it tends to be in liberal arts fields, not all of them, by the way, but some, and the challenge is there, is going to be how do you maintain this role as a comprehensive national university where you still have to teach a number of things if you're going to take that title without being maybe able to maintain as large a departments anymore. And that's, I think that's going to be our trick. You're not going to see us disinvesting in the sciences. We have discussions in engineering about, you know, the level of graduate programming there, but that's still going to maintain be maintained strongly. Obviously, you're talking about aviation and some other career programs that we provide degrees in. Those aren't going anywhere because enrollments are very strong and getting even better. It's going to be in some of these liberal arts and humanities fields where we're either going to have to grow or we're going to have to repackage and figure out a different way to do those in the future.
I mean, should I see you down at a creek in California with a pan swirling that to see what goes off to the edge and what gold stays out in the pan?
Maybe about ready to try it, isn't it?
Right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, just kind of, well, you know, we're just going to have to keep moving around, seeing if we can sift.
Hey, here's another thing, though, that we're dealing with right now, and we're going kind of slowly and carefully, methodically, but that's alternative revenue. So obviously you've been seeing in the press about the fact that we have a bill now sitting on the governor's desk that would allow SIU to do alcohol sales at certain university events. This would have to be approved by board policy, and we define certain types of events.
The law actually tells the board it has to do this, and I think
that's
it's 6 months.
That's right.
It just gives them the approval to begin the policy and approval to ultimately do it, but they're the ones who are responsible for
that,
the policy.
That's right, and have the same opportunity as the University of Illinois and Illinois State and Northern, as well as other schools around the country. And we're not doing this because we're trying to set a wrong standard for our students or anything else. This is what other schools do, and we need to figure out ways to generate alternative revenue, find other sources, because the business model that's out there right now is not going to sustain us. But back to your first point, part of our business model at Carbondale is investment and support of research, given the amount of money it brings to that campus.
Right, and really interesting work and an attraction and being an elite group as a result of research.
Actually,
university.
Actually, quite amazing work.
I mean, whether it's ginseng for breast cancer.
That's right.
Nanotubes that were developed to inspect the engines on the shuttles when they were still there. I mean, there's a bunch of things go on that I'm always a big fan of talking about that you really don't see a lot of.
We have a vice chancellor for research, great guy. He's interim. His name's Jim Garvey. And he could go anywhere and we'll see, but he's a very talented individual. And, I've often said he has one of the neatest jobs on campus because a lot of his role as our research guy is to bring in these new professors, these new scholars out of some of the best programs in the country, mentor them, figure out what they need to get their labs going or to do their research, kind of bring them along, help them get the grant dollars they need. And you can walk through that group of individuals who are, research engaged on the campus, and you hear all kinds of stories. Six ways from Sunday, somebody working, for instance, in a wildlife or fisheries field, someone else in engineering, somebody else in healthcare-related area, and some of the work that's going on there is actually, as you indicate, quite amazing.
It really is.
Now here's the deal to tie it back to I can't believe we're this far in and haven't talked about state budget, Tom. But at any rate, if we want to tie it to that, it takes money to be able to support that enterprise. Now we do get overhead back from the grantors, particularly if you get a federal government grant, you're going to get a large amount of what we refer to as overhead or indirect cost support to help pay for the buildings where these experiments take place and keep the lights on and handle the accountants and everyone else who have to run all these grants. But you have to also have state support to help invest. That's another leg of the stool to help get all of these labs built to maintain operations there with what you might think about as back office staff or lab staff. None of this comes on the cheap. And we're seeing right now this disinvestment that we're having to make. We've been pulling back from this vice chancellor, Garvey, as he's trying to find these great researchers. You've got to put deals together for them, just like you do for coaches or anybody else,
yep,
on startup, on lab support, on graduate assistance.
Will I have the hardware I need?
You've got all of that, and you got to put that package together, or you're not going to get those people to come to lovely Carbondale, Illinois, and do their work. And right now, we're pulling them back more and more away from that enterprise to the point where it's now hurting us. We've got to be able to reinvest again.
Some figures out. Bureau of Labor Statistics, inflation rates. Take a look at what we're looking at here. The earliest records on college tuition go from back to 1978. Between 1978 and 2016, college tuition has increased by 1,272%. The price of medical care during that time period increased 673%. A new car increased by 97%. One of the largest things that we've seen increase is college tuition. A 1,272% increase, all universities, not just SIU.
Since 1978.
Since 1978. And we really saw this take off in this graph beginning at about 2002.
A tenfold increase, in essence.
Why?
If you track state support. Now, I'm going to speak for the public institutions more so than the privates, although, you know, to some degree it holds true for them. If you track the level of state support that public universities were getting back in the 1970s and put in on a graph, and if you then look at that tuition increase graph and plot that the same way, you're going to see, I'm making a gesture here, you're going to see an X created.
Yes.
As state support declined precipitously, tuition rates increased in the same exponential fashion. And I can't tell you where the crossing took place, but it was, if you've got the charts there, it might be late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there. I don't know.
You see a jump in 98.
Yeah, okay.
But when you really start to see this really take off, looks to be about 2006.
Early 2000.
But it's already moving.
About 2004 in Illinois, of course. 2002, then by 2004.
I believe that, looking at this chart.
We were in a place in Illinois where the disinvestment had started in a very big way.
During that same time period, Randy, I was here, right?
Yes.
And you know what I was hearing? SIU, that money we gave you, we need that back.
Yes. Now, so you have this huge cost shift that was taking place. You know, Tom, it's not that long ago, and since I've been working at SIU, we were seeing state budgets here in Illinois that were growing higher education funding. Now, I'm not saying we should have done it back then, all right? Obviously, we've had decades of mismanagement that, you know, that's gone on in this state. But you go back to the mid-90s in Illinois, we would see state higher education budgets growing anywhere 4%, 5%, 6% a year. And we would put together these funding requests, these documents to say, well, if we add, you know, 5% additional, we do this and that and this. Of course, we don't do those documents anymore. That's not the case. Because we don't see that kind of state funding. But that's done. It's gone. It's not coming back. And this cost shift has not just been in Illinois with that story I told. It's been states all over the country. One of the most amazing stories has been in California, where the two state systems in California were both free to California residents. Now, you had to pay some fees. It's not that way anymore.
Right.
And the cost shift has taken place. The other thing that's happened over almost 40 years has been the growth in programs, services for students. And I'm not trying to, you know, provide an excuse for it. But there is a great investment that takes place now in student services, non-academic programs, support of a wide variety of things. Athletics would be included in this at mid-major institutions, certainly. In fact, at most institutions. And that's been another big sea change over that period of time. Whether you're talking about staffing counseling centers, whether you're talking about creating essentially a standalone advisement group. Now, you know, back when we went to school, faculty members did the advisement. As an undergraduate, you would get somebody assigned, and you'd go in, and they wouldn't give you any good information. Yeah, you'd have to figure out how to
I've
take your own.
My faculty advisor said, how many times I've heard that in my life, you know.
Yeah, so now to prevent these problems and keep students on track to degree, we have a professional body of advisors, and I'll tell you, it's a good move. I'm glad we have them. We hire retention specialists. We build rock walls. We support Division I athletics. I mean, we do a lot of things now that weren't done 40 years ago, and that's the other big cost driver that you see taking place here. That we've hit the ceiling on that. That you're not
have
going. I think we actually have. I think that business model has about run its course.
Whose
now.
Ceiling, the business or the consumers?
Well,
we've hit the consumer ceiling.
I think we've hit the consumer ceiling, unless you're a place. One of about maybe 25 schools in the country tend to be, football powerhouses that are going to be able to, pay for whatever they want to do.
You definitely have a pinky sticking off at a Nobly Campbell from a wine glass.
Absolutely.
And I are going this year to Harvard.
Well, but, you know, it's not even the Harvards of the world. They're living off their endowments.
Notre Dame's.
But these football schools that are in the top 20, top 25, are having a difficult time figuring out how to spend the money that they have. So that's helping cover some other costs.
Well, we could help them. We could share
Yeah,
share
we
that
could
around.
We could show them some ways to spend
spread
some money.
That around. Oh, we have too much.
That gets into another whole field, doesn't it, about NCAA and how they organize
divided.
Themselves. That's
yes,
right.
It really does. We're running out of time, and you alluded to this a couple of moments ago. How much longer can you go at SIU without seeing some type of assistance from SIU, now recognizing that there was already a dribble out of the bucket a little earlier that basically was a small transfusion. Your current situation, how much longer can you go like this, President Dunn?
You know, I always try to dance on the head of a pin on that, because as soon as I say a date, then if we go one day past it, why then, you know, you call me out or a legislator does. Here's our situation. In fact, I had a meeting with the campus leadership at Carbondale this past Thursday, a week ago today. The biggest financial challenge we have in the SIU system right now is SIU Carbondale, and it's given over in large part to enrollment drops and the fact that there is such a large research enterprise, kind of tying it all together here again, that we have to support. That's part of it. School of Medicine is a little different animal. They budget separately, and they have a $100 million business called SIU Healthcare that attaches to the School of Medicine, and that gives them some room to maneuver. But even they are in a challenge. Edwardsville, better shape because of enrollment growth. So our difficulty is at Carbondale. We are going to need some sort of stopgap. Everybody talks about the fact that, well, maybe we get to December, January, then they're going to get this budget figured out. We're going to need a stopgap before that time. And I'm looking right now, as I talk to our finance staff over at the Stone Center, we're looking late October, early November. We're in a heck of a bind and have to take some of the most extreme measures that you potentially that you've seen two or three other schools already talk about. We're not there yet. We're doing everything we can. In fact, you're going to see Carbondale do another round of very severe cost cuts as they head into July 1. They're working on those right now. And, you know, with all of those things, maybe we navigate to January 1 without a stopgap. But I'll tell you what, we need a little breathing room right now. That breathing room is some sort of stopgap, whether it's a MAP bill that the governor has sitting on his desk that he either has to sign or veto or let pass without signature by July 22, or another spending plan that's out there. Obviously, we had a veto last Friday on something that would have been of benefit, but there are a couple of vehicles out there, and something's going to have to hit for us to give us just enough breathing room to get to January 1.
You know, I was at Walker's Bluff last Friday having mm-hmm. dinner. And I was talking with some of the people there at the having dinner table. I said, you know, it's right over here where the governor was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, George Sheffer was at this table pointing down at the governor. Says,
yes.
Every student is a job.
Yes. George sent me some video he had shot of his discussion with the governor. And I'll tell you what, he's a very strong advocate for SIU and for the community as a whole. And I think it was a perfect line to be used, because that's the truth here.
SIU President Randy Dunn. Randy, thanks so much
sir.
For your time, pal. Really appreciate
All right.
it.